Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love once again. I am your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with Rocheka Hook, who is the branch coordinator for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Corpus Christi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, this is going to be new for me. I've never really heard of Big Brothers Big Sisters, so I'm excited about what we're going to talk about. Rocheka, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. My name is Rocheka, and I'm the branch coordinator for the Corpus office. I have two kids, and I am from Corpus, and I've actually been a social worker in Corpus for 20 years here in our community.
That's wonderful. Can I ask you, if you don't mind, why did you get involved in social work?
It was actually a movie I saw when I was in middle school about homeless children, and ever since then, I wanted to be a social worker.
That's pretty unique. So you noticed that they needed help, and you wanted to be that person mm-hmm. that would help them? All right.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, let's go ahead and move into the program. Can you tell us about Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Big Brothers Big Sisters is a mentoring agency, so we provide a one-on-one mentoring. And I think what sets us aside from other mentoring agencies is that we monitor our matches on a professional basis, meaning we stay with you through the entire match. So once you're matched with a volunteer, the child's matched with a volunteer, we have a case manager stay with you through the entire match, really helping you to sustain the match and to help the volunteer help the child reach their full potential.
So in other words, the title Big Brothers Big Sisters suggests that it's a mentoring program mm-hmm. and that when you say match, it's a young person needing an older person who can
yes.
guide them and yes. mentor them, and you all are the liaison for that relationship?
Right. So what we do is we actually go out and find volunteers for the children that come into our program wanting a mentor. So we try to find somebody who has similar life experiences, similar interests. And we match them based on compatibility, because what it is, it's a friendship. And that's what we tell our volunteers, that their job is to be their friend. That's pretty much it. They're not their parent. They're not their social worker. They're not the probation officer, teacher. They're their friend.
That sounds like fun.
And so really their job is to strengthen that relationship. And that's going to be different for every child. Every child needs something different. And, you know, we try to take all the other worries away from them. If they have any social service referrals or anything, their match support specialist or case manager is the one that will deal with it. And we try to just have the volunteer concentrate on building that relationship with the child.
Let me ask you, how many children are in the Corpus Christi area?
In our program, we have right now active about 250 children. We serve about 500 a year. Some close for different reasons. The kids move or they graduate, which is one of our goals, to get them to graduate. But we have about 100 on the waiting list.
So there's 100 mm-hmm. kids out there. Between what ages?
There's ages between 5 to 17.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So as young as 5, mm-hmm. they can get
and
a mentor.
17.
So when you say they're on a waiting list, that means that right now they don't have a mentor.
Right. They're waiting for somebody to come in.
One of those big brothers or big sisters.
Yes.
How many can one volunteer have?
We really like them to only have one.
Okay.
Because, again, it's the one-to-one relationship that we find all the positive outcomes happen from having that one-to-one kind of friendship.
Okay.
So we really encourage one child per. Now, a couple, a husband and wife, can come in and mentor a child. And sometimes we have a husband and wife come in and they mentor a sibling group together. But again, we encourage them to have that one-on-one relationship with each child. So,
okay. So let me ask you: in terms of friendship, what are some of the reasons or cases that someone would become a part of this program?
For the volunteer or the child?
Well, I'm both.
Okay, so a child, we get referrals from the teachers, the counselors, and the parents themselves, and we have children from all walks of life. We have children from two-parent families. just wanting that extra positive role model in the child's life. And then we have a lot of children whose parents are incarcerated or probation parole or being raised by their grandparents, single parents, whether it's a mother or father, you know, really needing, again, another positive role model in their life. And as a volunteer, they come in for all different types of reasons. A lot of them have, some of them were, had mentors growing up, and so they realize, you know, there was a big part of their success in their life and they want to give back. You know, some just feel a calling to help and, you know, make a difference in a child's life. And so, you know, they come in and volunteer. And so to be part of it, to be a volunteer, really just the willingness and desire to help a child and also be able to pass a background check. And we ask that the volunteer be able to give at least a minimum of a one-year commitment, because what we found is it's more detrimental for the child to be matched less than 6 months than not to have one at all.
Oh, okay.
You know, they come in and they begin to trust, and then the volunteer has, you know, the match goes wrong for whatever reason. It's more detrimental to the child.
Or the volunteer has to leave. Or
yes,
move
and that happens. That happens. Mm-hmm. A lot of our military that are here are matched in with the child, but the you know, as long as the child understands that it was something that happened and it wasn't that they left because of them.
Oh yes, that's important.
A lot of times the child's already had some abandonment issues, whether it's their father or their mother, or you know, to them sometimes it's just another adult that disappointed them in their life. And so, you know, we really try to stress that commitment, because it is a commitment. Even though it's fun, it's still a commitment. And you know, we're asking the volunteer to be able to at least give a year. I've been matched with my little sister for, it's going on 5 years. So It doesn't have to be just a year, but we've asked that be the minimum time that you could give.
And do you all have to be similar in age group, or you're just really, you said earlier,
right,
matching and compatibilities.
Yes. It really depends. And we have volunteers that run for, you have to be at least 18. And I have my oldest volunteer, I believe 73.
Oh, wow.
And he is probably more active than, you know, a lot of my volunteers. You know, it just depends. For a child to be enrolled in the parent in the program, the child and the parent are interviewed. It's a 30-minute interview. It's real informal, and we're trying to get to know the child and what the child likes. And at that time, the parent can give a preference. She can have an age preference, or, you know, so a lot of times they don't have grandparents in the area, and so they want an older one. So we take all the into consideration what the, sometime the kid thinks 20's old, you know, because he's five and he
wait
thinks
a
that's
minute.
Right. Yeah. So it just depends on the preference of the child and the parent too.
Okay.
And the volunteer can also have a preference that, you know, they
work better with teenagers.
Right. So we take all that to consideration when we're matching them, because it's compatibility issues. So we want to make sure that, you know, they're starting off, you know, as compatible as they can be.
Let me ask you, you said earlier that there's a one-year commitment. How mm-hmm. often do you suggest that they get together, the mentor and the little brother or little sister?
We're asking only 4 hours per month.
Okay.
And so that's really not a lot. And it differs from child to, you know, volunteer. Once it's agreed upon that this is who the child wants to be matched with, the parent makes that decision, and of course the volunteer agrees to it. There we get together and we have what we call a match introduction. Once that happens, information's exchanged, contact information's exchanged, and it's up to the parent, the child, and the volunteer to schedule outings. So it could be flexible. I have some that meet every Wednesday.
I was going to ask outing. So what are some of the things that they
we
do?
We encourage daily activities.
Okay.
If they have a dog, walking the dog with them, take them by, you know, where you work, where you worship, you know, go to the grocery store with me. I mean, we do encourage movies and baseball, you know, but just kind of, you know, if you're a runner, you know, take them to run with you. If you work out, take them to work out. My little sister likes to bake, but I'm not a baker.
You're
so.
Not a baker. Well, maybe
we've
she
tried,
could teach
yeah,
you something.
Yeah, so we've done a couple of things like that. But, again, it just depends on what you like to do. So, and we're there. It does get kind of, you know, you're at a loss what to do, and so we kind of help them. But we also encourage them to do things that, you know, it depends if the child is having trouble in science, then maybe take them to the museum to see that science can be fun, you know, just different things.
Help them with homework?
Yes, that is not discourage or encourage. We just tell them that we don't want you to
do their homework.
We don't want them to be their tutor because it's supposed to be fun.
That's something different.
So,
okay.
But then you build a relationship. And my little sister's called me for homework, help math homework. I could not help her. So luckily my husband's a math teacher, so he helped her. But as long, we did have, you know, a couple instances where, you know, that's all it was, tutoring every Wednesday. Well, that's not what the child envisioned it. So definitely they can help them with their homework. But, you know, we don't want that to become, you know, their only source.
All that you do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's see. If I had a big brother or big sister, I think I'd want to learn how to cook. I'd want to maybe walk a dog. That sounds relaxing and therapeutic, rocking a dog. I'll mention some more things when we come back from break. This is exciting. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
The annual Fall Festival at St. Joseph Church, 710 North 19th in Corpus Christi, is set for Sunday, November 2nd. Why should you go? For the live music, children's games, silent auction, karaoke, face painting, moonwalks, and lots of great food, including turkey legs, menudo, funnel cakes, roasted corn, Frito pie, and even more from the various food booths. Proceeds from this event will help reduce the parish debt. If you'd like to donate items to their silent auction or just get more information, call the parish office, 882-7912.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and I'm here again with Racheka Hook, who is the branch coordinator for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. Now, before the break, I was talking about what I wanted to do with my big brother or big sister. Walk a dog, learn how to cook, maybe go to a movie. I love movie popcorn. I mean, all of that sounds very exciting. And I think a lot of people would benefit from having a big brother or a big sister. Now, I want to know, who can be a part of the program? I know I talked about this earlier. Is it a free program?
It is a free program. There's no requirements other than age. So we ask that the child be between the ages of 5 to 17. Now, they can stay in the program till they're 21, but I can't enroll anybody at 18. I actually can. We have a new program funded by the Department of Labor, and that is geared towards teenagers who have actually gone through the juvenile justice system already. So they have some type of record, so to speak. A lot of it's truancy and some of it's, you know, assaults, but most of them are minor infractions. And that grant can go up to 24.
Oh, okay.
And so the goal of that grant is, of course, mentoring's a big component of it, but it's also trying to get the child to graduate high school. They're already having trouble. They've either, you know, for whatever reason, have quit or are not doing well, not passing. And then again, the older group is post-graduation success. What do you want to see? Where do you see yourself out of graduation, whether it be joining the military, you know, going to college, a trade school, or, you know, some of them just want to get a job and, you know, be able to help support the family, whatever it may be. And so, you know, we are able to service that population, that age group. But other than that, it is free. You know, just again, we ask that the parent and the child want the program and be just as committed as the volunteers. You know,
so it's kind of like a three-person commitment.
Right. It is a commitment, and the child has to want it. And sometimes we have the parent bring the child in, and they're not really understand
hesitant.
What they're. But I would say 99% of the kids want it because it's fun. It's another, you know, somebody else who just to, you know, hang out with and have fun.
Okay. Are there any things, like you mentioned homework, are there any things not to do?
No, that's up to mom.
Okay.
That's up to mom and the child. There's no overnight visits for the first year.
There's some common sense things.
Yes. Yeah. And after that, it's revisited between parent, and the volunteer may never feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kind of, you know, hesitates and like, oh, I'm not going to let mine with a stranger. But I've been matched with my little sister for almost 5 years already. And there's a bond and there's a trust. But that may never happen with some volunteers, but definitely the first year, absolutely not.
With the Diocese of Corpus Christi, we have our safe environment policies, and that would be something we would maybe stay away from.
And so other than that, pretty much it, they're even allowed to go hunting, which was just approved about 2 years ago, but that's huge paperwork involved. But, some of them still are able to do that. But other than that, it's up to what the parent wants, and the parent feels comfortable. And so
they see beneficial with the child and the big brother.
And no rated R movies, even if you're 18 and you're able to go see it.
That's
just something that we don't. That's actually in the agreement.
Yeah, I've never been hunting, so I'm not sure about that one. I think I'd want to eat what I kill, but I don't know. Now, you talked about how the program was funded, and who funds the whole program anyway?
We have a couple of different grants, federal and state grants. One of them was through the Department of Labor, and the other ones are a lot from the Juvenile Justice Department. And then the rest is private funding, so we have several fundraisers per year. We have our bowling tournament that just ended in August, and we have Diamonds and Champagne, which is coming up in December, and then we have our fishing tournament, and we have a luncheon in October. So those are the three major fundraisers that we have.
And do those funds, they help recruit people like yourself to match people?
Right, it helps us pay for background checks that we do on all the volunteers. There's three or four different background checks. We update it annually so that if anything happens in the time that they're matched, the parent becomes aware. And it could be something as small as, a speeding ticket or two or three. I mean, that, then that makes us, we have to call the parent and say, how do you feel about that safety issue or whatever. Doesn't happen all the time. Maybe once in the 8 years I've been there, but it's definitely something we do. We update the background checks for the safety of the child.
The safety is a priority in the program then.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, wonderful. Well, it's good to hear that you do have some grant support and you also have some community fundraisers. Mm-hmm, I mean, that all sounds like fun. The Diamonds and Champagne one, really, that caught my attention. Now, how can people help?
Our biggest challenge has always been finding volunteers. We have these kids that really, need a positive role model in their life. And like I said, it's just having fun. We have 100 kids in the waiting list, and out of the 100, maybe 50% of them are boys. They tend to wait the longest. We are the male volunteers are just hard to find.
So usually the males will be matched with the males?
Yes, males are only allowed to be matched with males.
Okay.
Now, a female volunteer, because of our lack of male volunteer support, they're able to be matched with a male or a female.
Okay.
Well, sometimes I have a little boy who's being raised by mom, lives with grandma, and has four sisters. They don't want another big sister.
Oh, okay.
So definitely they need that male role model. Once the men come in, they're actually, I don't want to say, they're actually better than the females, because we tend to want to fix things. And that's not their job. Their job is just to have fun, and they're really, really good at that. And so,
and to be a good role model.
To be a good role model, have fun, show them that there's a different way to live, different things out there. A lot of our kids they go to school in their neighborhood, they go to their little church in their neighborhood, and then they go, to their HEB, and that's it. They haven't ventured outside of that. And to show them that, a lot of them have never even been to the beach or even the water downtown. And I had a little boy who'd never been to Academy, and he's 11 years old. And, so just showing them that there's a whole nother world out there and planting those seeds within them, and, That's what their job is, and they do.
Well, come to think of it, when I was younger, we kind of stayed in our own little neighborhood, went to the same church, went to the same HEB. Relatives were down the street and went to the neighborhood high school. Yeah, there's no need to go much of anywhere. And it's good that there's a program like this that can show them that there's a lot of joy in life and there's a lot more to see. I mean, I can imagine that some of these little brothers, little sisters have very interesting lives. Mm-hmm. That's a part of why they come into the program.
Some have it very, I mean, we hear some very, very sad stories, but, you know, we hear a lot of success stories as well when they're being matched.
Well, as a matter of fact, what are some of the positive outcomes that you see? You mentioned earlier graduating from high school.
And we do our own evaluation. So we do post and pre and post surveys in the beginning of the match and in a year after. And we measure things like their success in school. Their attendance is increased. They tend to stay out of trouble more. Their onset of drug use declines. But I mean, there's some things that you can't measure. So they walk a little taller, they smile a little more. I mean, we had one little boy so shy, and he's only been matched actually 3 months, and he was actually on the news a couple of weeks ago. He had the microphone, and you know, he was running the show, and it was just amazing. And it had to do with his big brother, and that's because he sees his big brother maybe once a month at that. But the change, you know, those are things you can't measure. Those are successes. I mean, they're just, we see them because we see them when they come in. We had one little boy, he came to us, he lost his father and grandfather in the same, within a month.
Oh, boy.
He wasn't eating. He thought his grandmother was going to be the next one, so you should see him now.
He was scared.
He is, you know, he had a big brother, and, I mean, he's amazing. And those are some of the things that you can't measure, but he did. He did started doing well in school. My little sister wasn't doing well when I first met her, and she got a presidential award, a principal's award. She got AB honor roll all 3 years in middle school.
Hey, good for you.
And it wasn't because I helped her.
Well, good for all of you.
But I mean, it was just, you know, I asked her about school and, you know, her parents are wonderful and but they're disabled, so they're not able to help her and do a lot of the fun things that she was normally, you know, normally did. And, but she's a great student. And, you know, I think that just by asking her about school and letting her know that I think school's important, that I think that she's a good student, that went a long way for her.
Wow.
And she's now in high school, and hopefully she continues to do well.
Wonderful. So let me ask you, if people want to either become a volunteer or contribute financially, how can they get in contact?
They can contact our office at 888-8500. And that is at Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we're at 4535 SPID.
Do you all have a website?
It's www.bigmentor.org.
Thank you so much for being with us. I'm so appreciative of everything that you do and being the branch coordinator here in Corpus Christi, and I pray that everything in the rest of your career goes well.
Oh, thank you so much.
As well as the success of your little sister
and all the
other little brothers and sisters
definitely.
Out there. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned. Deacon Nolte is up next with Sacred Moments.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
There is no denying that we live in difficult times. Ask anyone you know, and they can recite a litany of what is wrong with the world. In fact, they can tell you what's wrong with our country. The answers you get will be as different as the people you ask. For some, it's the economy. For others, it's Democrats and Republicans, the haves or have-nots, medical care, or Social Security. The list goes on and on. All of it can sometimes beat us down and cause us to question if anything really matters. We start giving in on things we used to believe were important, but now we're not so sure. We start to go along with the majority, voting for the most popular candidate, even when we know deep in our hearts that there might be someone else who's better. We begin to doubt what we once believed. We begin to seek to please ourselves, and we turn to those things that we think will bring us happiness. But they always leave us thirsting for more. It begins to seem as if God doesn't care. Being tired and discouraged makes it easy to want to quit, easy to give up trying to live a righteous life. Keeping our faith and trusting in God when we're surrounded by suffering and poverty is hard. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make any sense. We wonder, what's the use of fighting it? Everybody else does it. Does it really matter what I do? And yet God has not given up on us. These times of discouragement are the times when we need to turn to Him with even greater prayer. Like the widow in Scripture who was seeking justice before the dishonest judge, we have to be persistent in our prayers. God is always present, ready to lift us up, to redirect our steps, and draw us nearer to Him. He promises to renew our hearts, to give us natural hearts. This means that He will remove the stones that hard living has filled our hearts with and that prevent us from knowing peace or from having hope. The psalmist knew this well, and through his words invites us to call upon God, to invite Him to step in and give us direction. Listen to the words, "When my spirit grows faint within me, it is You who know my ways. You are my refuge. Rescue me." Jesus goes even further and tells us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves." We hear these words echoed in the words of so many popular songs, such as "You Raise Me Up," when it says, "When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be." When everything around us becomes dark and dreary, that is the time for our faith to shine the brightest, the time for us to call upon God with renewed vigor. Let us dwell upon the promises He has given us, and may your sacred moments lead you to that place where Jesus raises you up, gives you rest, and rescues you. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. If you would like more information, please contact Big Brothers Big Sisters at 361-888-8500 or visit them at bigmentor.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.